and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters, a day 402. It's post-mortem day. How are we all doing? Alex, beat you again, Jonathan. Only fractionally. It was one of those days. What you need, Jonathan, to be absolutely sure of winning is a copy of Mike's webinar schedule. Because he's webinaring, which meant the chat opened at 10 to 6. So you can't say you didn't have long enough. Oh, and he was so sure he was going to win as well. Oh, dear me. Only serendipity checking emails. Doesn't matter. The reason doesn't matter, Alex. You're there. That's all that counts. Tomorrow, Jonathan. Tomorrow. There you go. Ah, oh, hello, Kim. Hello, Renee. Hello, Paul. CQ, Deb. CQ. You need to bribe Mike with Toblerone. Oh, he's anybody's for a Toblerone. Seriously. Oh, he is. Now, I need to get a link. I need to share this with you. I won't say we have a tired dog, but you know the definition of dog tired. It's when you can't eat your dentist stick because you're that tired. So there you go. Look at her little face. She only managed half of it. That's most unlike her. It is. Oh, that's a little bit of fur at the bottom as well, isn't it? Just to the left of the dentist stick. But yes, she's snoring, she's hiccuping. She's a happy girl. A happy, happy girl. So what's been going on? All the fallout from yesterday. Guess who's not buying an iMac? Oh, they were vile. Or was it just me? Has anybody read anything about why there's still a chin on it? I wish I knew the answer to that. My best guess, and this is a best guess, is something to do with the speakers. But said chin, not good. Nobody I've read has said anything about the fact that there's no logo on the front. And it just looks naked without the logo. I hope it still comes with stickers, because if you're going to buy it, you could cut the sticker out and put that on. That would work. So, is anybody buying anything? I think we had Deb buying an iPad, one of the very high-powered new iPads. Is anybody else tempted with anything? Or is it a case of they've mistimed this? They're saying everything will be out by late May, which is fine. But given that WWDC is just around the corner, maybe people will be thinking, well, I'm not going to buy anything just at the moment. I'll see what WWDC brings and then I'll ponder. But I don't know. What's your thinking? Oh, Jonathan's not tempted. What is your favourite colour, Jonathan? Because the navy one looked reasonable. But then I saw the front of it. And I thought, from the back, they look like deep and quite classic. And then you look at the front and you think, no, it's a pastel shade of blue. Oh, might be a silver version of the iMac. You've got to see it first. And probably be under the influence. Surely you'd wait for a 27-inch, or are you quite happy with the 24? Because I love the way they said it's bigger than the other one, and I thought, no, it's smaller than mine. You're only comparing it with a 21-inch. And when Tracy did her mass roundup, interestingly, she did miss one item, and I was thinking, that one kind of passed us by with no detail. And that was the podcast subscription, as I predicted. Has anybody found any details of what on earth you get for that? Because it seems illogical to me. I know exactly how much it is in the UK. It's £17.99. Don't panic, that's not a month, that's a year. But I must admit, without the content creators, in essence creating unique content for Apple, what's the point? Because who's going to pay to listen to stuff on Apple that people are giving away on Google? Or Spotify, or anywhere else. It didn't make much sense to me. I mean, we upload the episodes of MacBites and Marooned to the website as well. And you'd have to stop doing that, which would mean all of the show notes and stuff, unless you put at the top, you know, only available on Apple Podcasts. There just wasn't enough information for that, let's put it like that. Right, let's have a look. So Anthony didn't like the new iMac, thought it looked a bit cheap, like the PCs that have been made to look like them. Yeah, that's a very good point, because without that Apple logo on the front, it could just be anything, couldn't it? In fact, it's carte blanche for somebody else to make probably a PC version of it, maybe even Linux, and it look identical. Because you can't really copyright a square screen and a chin, can you? So it was the logo that made it iconic. I do not understand the point of putting that on the back. I know some people have their computers positioned so you would see the back, but others have it positioned against a wall. And that way there's no branding on it at all. Not that I'm particularly, you know, like, well, let's stick a brand on everything. I'm not. But it looks like there's something missing. Oh, maybe we could put the MacBytes logo on it. Imagine you've got to keep the MacBytes logo really under the radar, don't we? Since the issue with prepare, we definitely need to keep the logo out of Apple's sights. Kim's waiting for WWDC. 29-inch iMac for producers, not consumers. That's what I need. That is what I need. Debbie's definitely getting the iPad Pro with 2 terabytes. Wow. Wow. Oh, there was one thing I thought when I went through the iPad business. Did you all notice on the poster? I think Jonathan said something on the poster. It said up to 2 terabytes, which means that you're going to configure that at the point of purchase. Immediately under that, it also said up to 16 gig, meaning memory. This is on the iPad. So I went along and I did the let's spec it up and frighten ourselves to death thing. So I did. And then I thought, well, just a minute. After I'd done it, I thought, well, that's not bad. You know, it wasn't exactly your eyes were bleeding. Not far off, but not that bad. Because as I said, I could probably get away with 512 gig. So I carried on having a new look, another look. And then I thought, well, just a minute. And I went back to the poster. And as young Jonathan sagely pointed out there, it said up to 16 gig. And I thought, well, where do I configure that? And there was no option. Less than that, there was no mention. So next to the size of the hard drive, the capacity, there was a little one. So off I squints down to the bottom of the website. And all it was talking about was, you know, when a gigabyte isn't a gigabyte and a terabyte isn't a terabyte. It did not mention memory anywhere on the page, had the thing upside down. So then I had to toddle off and have a look. And because there's 5 different capacities, it's not a case of like split it down the middle and 3 have 8 gig and 3 have 16. And I thought, I don't know which side this is going to fall. Do the lowest 2 have 8 gig? So the lowest capacities have 8 gig and the top 3 have 16. Or is it going to be the lowest 3 have 8 and the other 2 have 16? Well, obviously, seeing as though I could get away with 512, 512 has 8 gig. And if you want the 16 gig, irrespective of whether you actually want the storage or not, you get the storage with it. Which explained why there's £350 difference between the 512 gig version and the terabyte version, because it's not just the capacity of the drive that's changing. You're doubling the RAM as well. I thought, I wish you could configure it, because for some people, they won't be pushing the device to the point that they need 16 gig, but they would like the storage. And other people be vice versa. So you'll have people who will want lots of storage for their photos, but will only be editing their photos and not producing HD video, and vice versa. So it would be nice if that was a user option, but it's not. It is not a user configurable option. So you are going to need a minimum of a terabyte if you want 16 gig of RAM. Do you know, in the end, because you know where we're heading, there will be businesses put out of business by the fact that you can't upgrade the RAM or anything else after. And you'll probably need a loan and 3 kidneys just to buy the thing in the first place. Because I always think, irrespective of what I could get away with, I should probably bump it up fractionally. So 3 years down the line, it's still fast enough to do a job. Even if I sell it on or pass it down the line, it's more than capable of doing a job. It looks like this time you're going to have to up it a little bit more if you want that RAM. Oh, well, so that was my discovery as I was specking it up and playing around. Will they include an Apple sticker with the iMac so you just stick on the front? That's my hope, Jonathan. I don't know why they would take it away. I know the front is a solid sheet of glass. So instead of it being glass up to the chin, the glass carries on and the glass is over the top of the chin. But that just said to me, oh, you could put a glowing Apple logo on it. Oh, it'd be amazing. But no, no Apple logo at all. Just imagine it was etched on the glass. Oh, it'd be fantastic. But instead of which, no logo at all. That costs extra, like everything else. Kim's constructing a letter to Timmy in your mind during your morning work. About what? Oh, Kim, tell us. They want those businesses to go out of business so they can have a global domination. Well, they're pretty much there already, aren't they, Kim? They really are. Deb saw other ads and they're all geared for kids. Yep. They looked like the kind of Insta generation. And those were the people who were using it. And yet, you know, I can imagine people, the Silver Surfers, using a computer like that. But they obviously don't want to be associated with the Silver Surfers, so they weren't in the ads. One does wonder what would have changed if Steve was still with us. Well, I don't think he'd have put his name to that. Not that lot. He was ruthless. You know, I've not drunk the Kool-Aid to the point that I'm prepared to say he wasn't ruthless. He was ruthless. Ruthless and not particularly somebody that I would like to have dinner with. But he had a clarity of vision with the kid where I don't think you had these stupid things we're getting now when he was there. So, for instance, you know, I think we all said, didn't we? Was it something to do with the memory or the hard drive? Can't remember now. But basically we were saying like there's an option on the iPad that's not available on the Mac. Why? None of it made sense. None of it made sense. I think he would have brought out that white keyboard, though, irrespective of the fact it'd be filthy in 5 minutes. I think he would have brought that out. Night, Jonathan. Let's carry on here. Hello, Tracy. Kim's now thinking seriously about a Mac Mini, aren't we all? Awesome, but not magic. Oh, Simon, not drunk enough Kool-Aid. Hello, Renee. Renee's back in. Oh, no, he's talking to Tracy. Got you. Anthony's surprised there's only a 24-inch. Anthony's is 27. There's no way you want to go for a smaller screen. I wouldn't either. And I don't think, again, I'd have to look at the tech spec. I don't think they mentioned whether it was 16:9 or 16:10. Because that would be my main problem. I would have to enable some magic software to make it 16:9, which would mean losing like an inch top and bottom to be able to record in a true widescreen. That's if it works the way the other one did, the old 24-inch. But I don't know because I haven't looked at it. I was going to make another point about that. If these are supposed to be the consumer models, then I can understand breaking up the announcement. So the announcement of the other one, hopefully at WWDC, maybe in September, is such that it's like, well, this is clearly the Pro model. And particularly considering that they have killed off the Pro model, the iMac Pro, which was never really Pro in the first place, apart from the price. My fear is that they'll release like a 27, a 29 or a 32 inch. You are going to need 300 kidneys to buy one. But that it'll look like that one. Because they can't really release something that looks more normal, more like, well, basically what we've got now. What I can see they'll do, because some people are religious in their opposition to the white bezel, is that the Pro model will have a black bezel. I can imagine that. That the 27-inch will be... Trouble is, well, as soon as they say it's a Pro model, they put the price on. There's another £500 because it's the Pro model. And maybe 600 if you want the Apple logo on the front. But fingers crossed they do something sooner rather than later, particularly WWDC. I didn't think they made much of the AirTags. It was like, oh, and by the way, we've got these AirTag things. As if like an afterthought. Pretty much like the podcasting thing. Although I have looked at that, and that is... There are no words. Who else has looked at the podcasting thing? Right, let me get down here. Kim really didn't like what they had to show us yesterday. No, no. But Renee loved the touch ID on the keyboard. Yes, it's a nice touch, that, if you pardon the pun. My keyboard's not an Apple keyboard. So Face ID would have been where I would have gone with that. I mean, and plus the fact you've got the watch to let you in now. So either one of those would have been better than the keyboard now. I think the keyboard would have been like, oh, wow, 5 years ago. But now it's just like a nice, oh, yeah, yeah, they've done that at last. I would much rather have Face ID. Mind you, for that to work, I have to have the camera working. So maybe not. I'm quite happy to type a password in. There you go. I'll stick with what I am. Will the Touch ID keyboard work with the T2 Equip Max? I have no idea, Paul. I think that was mentioned last night about using the Touch ID with an iMac, and it would make sense that that's why they've not done the FaceTime thing. I'm presuming they wouldn't want to do the FaceTime thing with an external camera. So although you could put an external camera on the Mini, that's not the way they're heading. But I don't know. I have not heard or read anything. Touch ID doesn't work half the time on the new MacBook Air. Oh, Kim. Mine's pretty good. Both of them are. Touch ID's never given me any problems. And neither has the Face ID. The worst thing with the Face ID, and this was from someone who did not buy the iPhone X because I did not want Face ID. Obviously, I had to go that way with the 11, the iPhone 11. But in between them bringing out FaceTime ID, Face ID, and getting the iPhone 11, I did get an 11-inch MacBook Pro. No, I didn't. iPad Pro. And the iPad Pro had Face ID. And I thought, oh, really? But you've got no choice. So I did it. Not really expecting it to work that well. But I must admit, it does. It works brilliantly. The only time I have a problem with it, and I think this is something that Apple could address if they chose to, is with an iPad, I don't always use it in portrait mode. So a lot of the time I'm working in landscape mode, particularly if I'm using it to watch a video and take notes in an app next to it. And the problem is there's very little way to hold an iPad in landscape mode that you're not covering the camera. So quite a few times I'll get, you know, camera is covered. And it's not, it's just I'm trying to hold the iPad and I'd rather not drop it. And it seems to find a finger or a thumb, even if it's like 3 inches away from it, it doesn't like it. So there was that aspect of it. But other than that, they both work fantastic. Now, having said that, they do for me, but they don't for Mike. So when he was doing, I mean, he wasn't overly keen on Touch ID, but when it came to Face ID, no, it just, honestly, it couldn't recognise him at all. So I said to him, do it again. I said, but take your glasses off. And he said, but I always wear my glasses. You know, he's a glasses wearer. I wear glasses to read, but I don't wear glasses all the time. So he took his glasses off and he redid it. And he said, but I don't see how this is going to work because then I'm going to put my glasses on. And I said, I'm just working on the principle. When I did my Face ID, I didn't have glasses on, but it recognises me with glasses. I said, so let's just try it. And it's been perfectly fine ever since. But it should be easier than that to configure it in the first place, shouldn't it? I remember Nina setting her phone up, and I think it was the Touch ID thing. And she was like, oh, no, I'm not doing any of that. And she just had no patience to set that up on the way in. So then she always had to put her PIN number in. But that's what we've found with it anyway. I find it 99% accurate. Mike's a lot less so until he did it without his glasses and then put his glasses on. Which actually is good because, you know, if he's at the point that he's holding his phone and groping for his glasses, by the time he's got his glasses on, they are actually done. So the Face ID thing's recognised and done. Let's have a look. Yes, that's going to cost Debbie a fortune, but she's going to enjoy it immensely. I would imagine it's going to be Deb's dream machine. Oh, the chat is jumping all over the place. Let me try and grab hold of it. So I am reading about Simon in his external setup with an external enclosure, etc. You work off a single 1 terabyte, that's great. I think the perfect setup for me is the 1 terabyte that I put in the iMac. I didn't go for any more because I do not expect to be using this more than 3 years. Obviously, I would rather have more storage, but that's not the point. So I just got a £60 1 terabyte SSD and hung it off the back in a cradle. And that's my working drive. So, you know, I will shove data on there. It's just like extra space when it's like, I think I'm going to need a bit more space. One thing that I did, and I let me know if any of you here use iMazing, but I needed to use iMazing to get this app off the device that wasn't having it. And it said I needed to do a backup, and it asked me for a location to put the backup. So I picked this scratch disk that I've got, this extra space. Anyway, it chugged away with itself for about 9 hours and eventually came back and said, right, I've done a backup. And it put it on the main hard drive. And I'm thinking, you know, Apple, are you insane? It obviously has a preference for putting iOS backups in the mobile sync folder, isn't it? Within the library anyway. But if you've got five devices, that's it. Your iMac's dead because everything's backing up to that one location. Luckily, I never do that with the iPads. Everything is backed up to iCloud. But in my defence, there isn't actually much that's on the devices themselves. If I've recorded something or taken photos on a device, you know, my first job is to move them off there. So I don't have that particular problem. But yeah, it'd be nice if when I backed it up to where I would like it and not where it would like it. Because then I've got to play around with symlinks and we're there all day. And that means, you know, if I do a live session and that live session is 4 hours, I've got my audio track, Mike's audio track and all of the video. And that will take up a lot of space. And I don't really want to go into a live session with less than like 450 gig free, because it could take 300 gig. Just to record that. We don't want it to die in the middle, do we? Because we've run out of disk space. So more would be nice, but I can get away with it. And then, of course, I have 1 terabyte SSDs that I back up to. One of which refused to back up the other night. I came in and it said, you know, can't back this up. Problem was it had something like 13 meg left. And I thought, yes, but you're supposed to do a deletion pass first and then back it up. Anyway, they're all backed up today. So now I've got 4 backups instead of 3. Right. Simon's quite happy carrying on with the Mini. The Mini seems a good machine. It really does. I did seriously think about it, and it was the RAM that put me off. Once we've gone a few months, the other thing that then put me off, otherwise I'd go out and buy one, was it's a Revision 1 product, and Apple tend to update Revision 1 products really, really quickly. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some kind of speed bump or something at WWDC or in September. And because it's a case of I could do a job with it, it could do a job for me, but I would need to configure all that. That would have a hit on productivity right now. So I took a decision to leave it until later. But I'm glad to hear good news about it from Simon. Oh, Deb's iPad's having minis. minis. Deb's iPad is having issues. Crashes and touch is starting to have issues. iPad is the same age as Elaine's. Isn't it weird? I've got two that were released in June 2017, and both of them have got exactly the same issues. I haven't got crashes at the minute. The 10.5, the battery's not great. It drops way faster than it should. But both of them have got touch issues where they just stop responding. So you're trying to scroll up and down, or you're trying to tap something, and it's just like dumb insolence. It totally ignores you. But the 2015 12.9-inch iPad, absolutely fine. And it's so annoying because that one is another 2 and a bit years older than the one I'm trying to use. So it is slower. With the applications running that I need, it's slower. It's so infuriating. I was hoping that it was all an issue that happened before the keynote, so people could sit there and think, oh, I might as well update this iPad. And after that, it would improve. But there's no update yet. So I'll keep you updated as to how it behaves. Paul loves the Face ID on his iPad Pro. Do you never have problems with it in landscape? It's absolutely fine in portrait. Must just be where I put my fingers, which is automatically too close to the camera for it to like. Oh, enjoy your dinner. Enjoy your dinner, Simon. What on earth is that? Oh, you missed it all here today. I'll wait till Mike comes in so we can tell you. But oh, it's a shame. It's a shame Simon's not going to be there. We need the murder board. We definitely need the murder board. Oh, yes, Deb's got the bridge keyboard. I remember all the pictures of that. That looked really nice. Not for me. Not for me, but really nice. Anthony finds it fairly good even at night, but you do find you have to make sure you're looking into the camera. I find it fantastic at night. It never ceases to amaze me at night. I mean, we do have like these bedside lights that, you know, where you touch them and they go to like level one and you touch them level two, level three, level four until you're blinded. And we leave them on really low. Anyway, I said to Mike, you know, turn those lights off. It's okay. So it's pitch black when I go in there. And the only light that it's got is from the phone itself. And I hold it up and it, boom, you're in. And it always amazes me. I don't think I would have complained if it was terrible at night. But actually, it's fantastic all the time. I'm surprised. Right. Debs loves it, works well. You know, can you hear a noise? We're either being invaded or somebody's decided to start some digging with some kind of mechanical device at 7:30 at night. Mind you, with what's gone on here today, who knows? Who knows? Right. Carrying on. A 12.9-inch iPad Pro works out more expensive than some of the Macs. Tracy, you're so right. I think they've really now taken the 12.9 and it's become like the Pro model. Not just in name, but, you know, it's got the best display here. It's got this there. It's got that the smart centering thing for video. It really has become, I can't see that many people buying that one anymore. I mean, Mike's mum wants an iPad, and I said, well, at least wait until this event's over and then we'll have a look. There's no way she needs anything like that. It would be completely underused. It's really for people who are actually creating on an iPad rather than consuming on an iPad. And I would guess that most muggles are consuming on an iPad. Having said that, they're some of the ones that are going to want the latest and greatest because. But I think it will shine if you are creating like Deb is. So even though it's more expensive than the iMac, that iMac is grossly underpowered. In terms of, it may behave brilliantly in terms of this, you know, the app starts straight away and all the rest of it. Grossly underpowered in terms of, it's not a Pro machine. It doesn't look like a Pro machine. It's not got the screen size of a Pro machine. Makes me wonder what they're running scared from in terms of bringing out that Pro machine right now. Surely they'll have a larger iMac at WWDC. If they do, Kim, I think it will be billed as the same as they've done with the iPads, that you've got this iPad 11 and you've got this iPad 12.9 and they're both the Pro model. But the 12.9 is like, wow. I can see they would do that with the iMac. Obviously, that's going to come with a price tag. So it's going to depend on strictly what degree of power do you actually need. So the thing is, most people, you know, you bring things out and everybody wants the best that there is. Irrespective of whether they need it or not, they want the best there is. Apple put the price up. And then it's like, well, that's not fair because I want that one. When they'd be more than, the cheaper model might do more than they actually need, but they still want the other one. Pro people probably are less price sensitive. What they're interested in is the capability of it. One way they could completely differentiate it is to not do a 27 inch and do a 32. Has anybody thought of an ultra-wide iMac? Do you ever see that happening? And then it would be specifically aimed at video editors, audio editors, with that wide timeline on it. I could see that, but who knows? What?
He's sly.
I can hear noise. Oh, good grief. I don't know what they were doing. There was like a grinding noise.
Ah.
Anyway, I've left it for you to tell them.
I'm playing Matt Bates headquarters and Maroons.
You'll get it right, yeah. Get the teeth in. Go on.
I'm playing Week at Matt Bates headquarters paparazzi.
Yes, there's lots going on. Now, Simon bobbed it, but he's bobbed out for dinner. So I said, we need the murder board going, don't we? Anyway, I had remembered it was Renee's wife's birthday because I know about the gift. I'm not going to say what the gift was in case you haven't given it to her yet. But we need one of these things, don't we? Where do we need? Oh, it's from the other one. Hang on. This is a Brooklands thing that we do. But seeing as though today's the day, happy birthday to Mrs. Renee. That's what we do on Brooklands when there's a birthday. So happy birthday, Mrs. Renee. Oh, the good things about the AirTags is you can change the batteries. The weird thing with the AirTags is they don't... I kind of expected some mechanism to attach them automatically, and it looks like they have to be in some kind of case. Oh, the other thing was, I was reading this piece and I just couldn't stop laughing. There's a you know how Apple released something? Like the iPhone 4, and then there was Bumpergate. Right, so then what another one they did was how to clean the glass on an iMac with that weird screen. Wasn't there another one after that? Really stupid things like, you know, how a cleaning cloth works by Apple. Well, on their website, there's this how to, or actually a how not to, how to avoid... How to word this? How to avoid an AirTag that's tracking you. In other words, you're aware that an AirTag is like pinging and it is where you are. So somebody's attached an AirTag to you to track you. Apparently stalkers do
this. It's
like
Prince Albert.
You're like, what? You can disable it. And I'm thinking, well, what's the point? If people can disable it, what's... But apparently, you know, Apple are almost in trouble for the fact that certain coercive controlling people will use this against spouses and stuff, which sounds utterly ridiculous. But there was a story on the BBC this morning about a weather person. She works for...
GMTV.
Was it GMTV? Oh, I thought it was in Wales. Anyway, she worked on TV, you know, giving us the weather forecast. Been married to the husband for 18 years. And he's just been put away for 3 years for coercive control. Doing things like paying the children to spy on his wife. Breaking into a phone.
ITV Wales, yeah.
I thought it was Wales. What other things was he doing? Oh, he put a tracker on her car. And I'm thinking, but you're married? What are you doing? But apparently it's the thing. Coercive control.
Yeah, you do that.
I know where you are, but yeah, I don't coercively control you. I'm not going to stick an AirTag up your derriere, am I? Don't need to. Where Mike is, his phone is, I'll just track the phone.
Exactly.
No, it just seemed really weird.
No, that's not true. That's not true. No, because I left my phone up here when I went to make dinner.
You did, actually. Yeah, but you were still in the house. You wouldn't have left the house without it, would you?
Has been known.
Paul heard a scraping sound. Yes, it was a scraping sound. I actually thought it was, you know, when you've got a car or a lorry with a tow bar on the back, it felt like that had fallen down and someone was driving past with it. But no, exactly, Tracy, check your bollards. I do believe we have movement on bollard gate. I told you, seven, 8 weeks, I said. Well, someone's doing weightlifting and one of the neighbours has got a home gym. When he uses it, sounds like someone's using a pile driver. Well, we do have a guy opposite who actually built... They had an extension. I think it was a single-storey extension. You know, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, I wonder what they're going to do with that. And the next minute, there's him in the window pumping iron. And I thought, well, couldn't you just done that in a garden shed? Say, building the extension. But no, that's what he does with it. Ah, this is Tracy's problem. She's on the cusp in terms of creating on the iPad. You'd have to go. I'd have to up my drawing and designing skills to justify buying a new 12.9. I can see where you're coming from. The issue is going to be, moving forward, I would have thought, that the applications that you are using will then start to lag, irrespective of the level that you're at, they're going to start to lag, or at least they'd work way better on the 12.9. That's where I'm at. You know, obviously, I don't leave the house much anyway, working from home, and haven't left the house at all in years. But I would do most heavy lifting on the Mac by choice, by preference, I would. I do consume things on an iPad, and depending on the application, could quite happily use an iPad for creation. So I think I mentioned I was doing this job, a genuine, not a demo job, a genuine job that needed doing. And it was easier on the iPad. That was the first time ever, but it was the app. It was Craft. Craft was designed for the iPad, and it was smooth as anything to do this job. Whereas if I'd have been doing the job on the desktop, it would have been copy-paste, 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 copy-paste. It'd driven me mad. But because it was an iPad, you would just like touch that, drag, drop, drag, drop, drag, drop. No copying and pasting, no making sure the cursor was in the right place before you pasted and all the rest of it. It was actually way easier on an iPad. But the majority of what I need to do in terms of typing, adding content, would probably be in either Rome or Notion. Rome is shocking on an iPad. Shocking. I mean, if you're in the zone where you're on the right page and you tap the first thing, then just keep typing. Okay, and then you're fine. But if you need to navigate in Rome, forget it. It's not good on an iPad. They are bringing out a dedicated iPad app, but you know, until we get that, it's not good. Notion on an iPad, you know, it's doable, but it doesn't seem to, like the dashboards that I've built look fine on my 27-inch iMac. Technically speaking, they should look fine on an iPad. They should just wrap round. So if it's not wide enough to show three columns, then show me two or show me one and wrap the others round underneath, like on the phone. Oh, no. It just truncates everything down to the point I can't actually see it. So that would lead me to think a 12.9-inch iPad's going to be way better than the 11 or the 10.5 I'm trying to look at it on. But until those applications are as good as they are on a desktop, and I don't mean the same as they are on a desktop, I mean as good as they are on a desktop, but adapting for the fact that the hardware is different, then I'm not going to be able to create, no matter how powerful the thing is. So I think Apple are looking at the apps that they bring out and apps like Affinity. I can imagine Affinity Publisher to be very capable on an iPad. But I can also imagine that it would be far easier to use if you've got the 12.9. In terms of any 12.9-inch iPad's going to be easier, but particularly that one because it's going to be more powerful. So if you want the iPad and you want to actually create on it, I think that's the way you're going to have to go, whether you like it or not, including the 1 terabyte of storage, because, you know, you take the half, you're only going to get half the RAM. So there went another £350. Mentally, obviously, not actually pushed the button yet, because you can't push the button. 9 days and counting. But there you go. Oh, YouTube drum lessons. Oh, fantastic, Kim. Oh, yes, we're going to need to see that. That'd be amazing. They've dropped the price on the special etching on the iMac glass.
Come up and see me etching.
You could make this stuff up, could you? You can have an Apple logo, but you're going to have to pay extra. Pay extra to advertise them. I can see the day. I can see the day. Oh, my. Oh. Right, let's have a look. Where are we up to? You thought the cone was being replaced. I will go and investigate the cone shortly, see what's happening. Oh, that's so sweet, Renee. My in-laws were singing this at the front door this afternoon. Oh, it is so sad, isn't it? I've seen so many pictures from the Catanian people, because the majority of them are at the age where their children are having children. And some of them have had a child 14 months ago, and the grandparents haven't been able to touch it yet. They just stood at the window with like newborn babies. And when you think, you know, years from now, you'll be looking back at like the first picture with Granny, and there's Granny on the other side of the window. Well,
Pete and Leslie were like that.
Yeah, they have met up now, though, haven't they?
They have met up now.
They've met up now. I think the baby was about 3 months, 4 months at the point that they got to meet it for the first time. But it's shocking, isn't it? So sad. Ah, Renee did indeed earn good husband points with the Udi. Loving that. I'm going to have to get something like that at Christmas when it gets cold. Mind you, Paul had snow today, didn't you, Paul? Unbelievable. Just the right amount of snow, though. Didn't need a snow plough or anything. Just the right amount of snow. But I do agree. It's May in about 10 days, isn't it? It's ridiculous. Most of Tracy's real work is done on the laptop. That's another point, Tracy. I know that you have access, or you need access to Windows for certain jobs. Is it Quicken? Is that what it was called?
QuickBooks, is it?
QuickBooks. Yeah, I think Quicken was the personal one, wasn't it? But anyway, some financial stuff. And there's no way to do that on the iPad. You can't virtualize anything on an iPad. So while they're pushing it as a real computer, and in a lot of situations it absolutely is, and as I've said, even I found a job that's easier on an iPad. Never thought that day would come. But it has. But you've still got issues if you're trying to do stuff like that. Like Mike with all his plugins for Excel. Not going to work on the Mac version. And certainly not going to work on the iPad. I mean, I do think Excel's pretty good on an iPad.
It's not bad.
I like the way they've done the keyboard and
stuff.
Yeah,
but it doesn't run VBA. You can't make pivot tables. You can't do any of the power stuff.
Not yet. I would guess it would come in the end. It's a completely new platform. They're not sharing a code base like Apple would do. It might come in the end. But when Apple say it's a pro model for pro usage, they mean creative stuff. They don't actually mean getting a job done.
Mm.
They mean getting a creative job done. Although, if you had a choice and you were editing video or audio, would you do it on an iPad? And my answer would be no.
I tried that, didn't I?
It would be heck no. Well, you actually did try it, didn't you? That was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was a living nightmare for the poor dear. He decided he'd go away. You didn't have your Surface then, did you?
No.
No. So he decided he'd go away with just an iPad, which was fine, until a job came in, and then he needed to create a video. That necessitated... Well, it was interesting to see how far you could take it with an iPad. Obviously, you've got a video camera on it, but it didn't need video, it just needed audio. So you've got a microphone on it, so you could do that. But then you realise you're going to need really good audio. The location was shocking. So when I talked about Apple saying, oh, look at these amazing microphones, you're in a sound booth. And like I said last night, a £5 piece of rubbish microphone sounds reasonable in a sound booth. But we'd got a pretty reasonable microphone, and we were in a hotel room with more noise than you could shake a stick at. So it was like, okay, what have we got on an iPad that will apply noise reduction to this? And the answer was nothing. Since then, I think I used Hindenburg. It ended up anyway that, yes, because Mike had his iPad and his phone and my iPad, we were able to get him to record. And how we did that, we used the microphone on one of the devices. We had the script on one of the other devices, and we were recording on the third device. So, again, could you do it with one device? Not really, no. Not easily. But we managed to get this thing done. So the audio was done. Now, and at that point, I took over with the audio because it was shocking. It was as good as we were going to get, but we needed some serious work doing on it to get rid of the background noise. So I worked on that, and Mike said, well, I've only got to throw the presentation together, and I'm fine on the iPad with that because I've got Keynote. 20 minutes later, he was suicidal, weren't you? Like, make it stop. Because it's difficult. You know, you've not got access to the fonts you might want. You're doing everything like a three-year-old with a stubby crayon with your fingers. But the biggest issue was getting images that you wanted to put on the slide. He's like, well, then I'll have to download it. I'll have to put that in my camera roll. I'll have to take it from my camera roll. Honestly, it was like the knee bones connected to the thigh bone and so forth for ages. And in the end, I said, Mike, just take this MacBook Air. And the job was done in 10 minutes. So it depends on the job. Partly that's powered by the software that's on the device. But we all know that there's been some bad software on iPads and there's been some bad software on desktop. It has to be just right. Craft, for me, falls into that good grief, it's perfect bit. It really does for the iPad. And it also works very, very well on the desktop. So that's been thought through. But editing video, I don't fancy doing it on an iPad. Right, let me carry on up here. Kim uses the iPad for play. iMac gets most of the workload. Laptops when you need to work and your back won't let you sit at the iMac anymore. Oh, I feel your pain, Kim. That's pretty much when my laptop gets used these days because I'm not going out that much. Kim was at a frat party at university and they... the line they used on me, come and see me at Chinchy. You were so naive, you went... Bet you learnt fast though, Kim. Oh, it's proprietary Windows software, so that's even worse. Anthony's done it once for video editing, but it was a 30-second clip of a puppy running around for Facebook. Not a professional production. Oh, dear. Ferrite Studio may well do it. That wasn't what I recorded it with. Because I think I recorded it straight into... Hindenburg, the Hindenburg field recorder. It's all its money, that app, trust me. I think it's about £30. But the benefit of it is if you're on the same wireless network as your device, so your device is on the same wireless network as your computer, you can, from the mobile device, shove the entire thing. What, who woke you up? Good grief, who woke you up? Wait your turn. You can take the Hindenburg recording or the recording you've made in Hindenburg on the device and flash it straight over to your computer and it opens up and everything's exactly where it should be and you can start work. So that's why I didn't bother trying to fiddle with anything else. Anthony tends to see the iPad as a content consumption device, excellent for reading books and magazines and watching video. I have iPads that... Yes, it's not particularly consumption for me. I'd call it supplemental jobs. So there's certain things that I have an iPad for, and I would use it repeatedly for those things. So I have an app called Full Screen Clock. It's very much like that other one that Paul uses. Is it? I'm not quite sure how you pronounce it. The one with a Q. Flickio? Flickio? That one would be great, but it doesn't have seconds on it. So I've got one called Full Screen Clock, and all it is... It's a clock, but it's huge. It covers the entire screen. You can configure it to be a clock or digital, whatever you need to do. And that sits there during live broadcasts, so I know what time it is and where I'm up to, or training sessions. So that has a dedicated iPad just sat there doing that. There's another app called Presentation Timer, where you type in how long you've got and it gives you countdowns and visual clues to, like, you know, you've got 10 minutes, you've got 5 minutes. Those, to me, are the things that it absolutely excels with. I do actually have Ferrite installed on this laptop, on this iPad, Paul. So, yes, it is something that I own. I wonder when that was last updated. I'll have a look and see if it does noise reduction. Anyway, Mike, why don't you tell them all about your excitement? We have got a photo of this for Friday, but that was good excitement today. And it wasn't on the local paper.
I thought we were saving it for Friday.
If you want to save it for Friday, that's fine.
Yeah, we'll save it.
Well, in
Friday.
That case, share what you've been doing with Excel today.
What have I been doing with Excel?
Yeah, VBA.
I've been doing a VBA webinar for I don't know how many people are on it, but it was an introduction to VBA. So that's where I have been doing a VBA. Which made a change because I'm not done VBA for a few weeks. Having said that, I am doing a VBA thing at work for Word, which makes a change. 90% of my VBA is in Excel. I do the odd bit of VBA in Word. I even once wrote VBA in PowerPoint. And I once wrote VBA in Outlook, but I think that was to fix a problem that Microsoft broke. So, yeah, I've been keeping busy. I've also been keeping busy at work by doing nuclear support, the love of my life, not. It's people keep pinging me and saying, Mike, can you help me? Can you show me how to do this? And I'm thinking, oh God, not another nucleus support. But there you go. It keeps me off the street corners, as they say. So what else? What else is in the chat? Let's have a look. Oh, somebody was asking me about editing graphics today. And I, for my sins, recommended using Paint. But then that's all they had on their machines. Paint, Microsoft Paint. Remember that?
I do, sadly.
Mm.
It was all right for cropping images.
Well, that's all they wanted to do was resize it. Resize the image. So, yeah. It
does Earthen View resize?
It does, but it's probably a non-supported... Oh, talking about non-supported apps.
What's died?
No, nothing's died, but somebody posted in Workplace this morning and said, are we allowed to use Slack? And the answer was no.
No, I can imagine not.
No, well, years ago, somebody wanted to use Trello.
I thought that was kind of unofficially...
No, it wasn't.
Oh,
Jira
dear.
Was unofficially supported. Trello
they
never
own
was.
Trello now.
Yeah. When Trello, Trello. I want a Trello, but I want one now.
When you say Jira was, as an installed application, I'm doing it in a browser.
I know pockets of teams do use Jira. When I first started on the Nucleus project, all those many years ago, I've just been saying that I did a load of Nucleus support today, which wasn't my favourite, but there you go. Keeps me off the street corners. When I first started on the Nucleus project, the guy who was managing it was using Jira and Evernote, two unsupported apps.
Mind you, a lot of agile stuff says that the team needs to get like buy-in from the team needs to decide what tools the team need to use.
Mm.
And if that's not supported, that's just a bit of a problem, isn't it? I guess they feel more ownership. I mean, if somebody said to me, you know, to do this, you're going to have to use Evernote, be like, oh dear, bye. Evernote's great at clipping. It's great as an intermediary thing. That's why I have so many tools that people say, like, well, you've got too many tools. But they're all for like very specific jobs, and they're like utilities that I will pass something through. So Bear in particular, Bear does a great job translating between note formats. So Bear's just sat there, and that's the only job I expect it to do. You can clip to Evernote fabulously. And then if I want that in somewhere else, then I will copy and paste it from Evernote into somewhere else. I don't use all the tools in terms of trying to keep them all in sync. You must be joking. But I think there is a lot to be said for giving a team the autonomy to choose their own tools, because then they've got buy-in. You know, if they decide, you know how many employees moan endlessly about the tools they're expected to use because then they're not fit for function for the job that they're actually trying to do.
Mm.
If you've chosen your own, then it's your own fault, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think of it like that myself. I think it's a good idea. Very good idea. I used to use Graphic Trace. It was a good one, that. Didn't it change its name from iDraw? I'm sure I did a demo of it when it was iDraw and there was a version for the Mac. And at the time, it was the only one that had an iPad version to go with it. And it was a very capable app. It was a shame it never really took off to the point it became a standard. Somehow, I think Affinity, the company, Serif Affinity, just did the most amazing job in terms of marketing the thing. Yes, Graphic's still available on the Mac. I wonder when it was last updated. 3 years ago. It got bought, didn't it? Who bought it? It says Picta, but no, I thought... Wasn't it AutoCAD owned it at one point? But whoever had it, you know, it's a more than capable app. Really nice on the interface. Just no support, no community, nothing like that. What was that other one that came out that I did a demo of? The one we could never work out which way you're supposed to say it. Let's try a vector app. Do you know, I can see the image. Vector app. Oh, wasn't there going to be a Vectornator? Like, no, a Vectormator, because there is a Vectornator. A Vectormator from Pixelmator. Right, let's have a look. It wasn't any of those. And why, while we're at it, would you call an audio editor Vector 3? Because it comes up with all the drawing tools. Wasn't any of these. Keep going. None of those. There it is. Amadine. Amadine or Amadine. That one. Again, that was very, very good. But they put all the work in, they release it, and then crickets, which is unfortunate. Another one, and I was about to do a demo of this. It was so funny. It's like typical. I will take full responsibility for this. There was an app called Gravit Designer, and Gravit Designer was completely free, and it was a good app. It really was. It had features only Illustrator had. It still has features that Affinity Designer does not have. And Corel bought it. And it was like, oh no. Literally, the day before I was going to do the demo, Corel bought it. We will keep a free version. I thought, wait for it. You know, there'll be money involved here. And there was. There was a free version. You could log in and you could use it. But after that, I thought, no, I'm not wasting any time on it. There's a lot of apps out there, but Affinity somehow has managed to get to the top of it. What Tracy doesn't like about Affinity Designer for iOS is you don't know where the files are being saved. It's fiddly to have to export just so you can finish up on the Mac. It's got this kind of like holding area, which is an issue. And that was the number one thing people complained about. I thought they'd change that in some way, but it's still not completely seamless. Other thing is, even if it was where you put stuff in iCloud, I've got that problem where on the Mac, even on a new Mac, so it's not the Mac itself, it's obviously something going on at the other end. You can have folders in iCloud that are called the same, which obviously you can't on normal file systems. And each one is attached to an application. And on mine, both the Affinity Photo folder and the Affinity Designer folder are attached to Photo and will not let me change it. I went through the most hideous, complex, you've got to delete this and move that and map that to that. And I did that and it was fine and it worked. And I thought, yes. Then I rebooted and it went back to where it was. Yes, that's exactly what I said, Lola. So that didn't thrill me at all.
Do you want to go out?
She probably wants a treat.
She can have a treat when she's been out.
Okay. Well, you take her. Go out with Daddy. No, she doesn't want to go out. Look, she's just sat there like a princess. What she wants is a red dentist stick. And she's telling all the listeners about it so they know how mean we're being. No, she hasn't had a dentist stick today. She's got the one that she left from before.
Yes, it's still there. There's two of them there.
Lola!
Have you gone off them?
No, that's the same one. She moved it.
Oh.
Yeah. How about that one that I want to pour? Pour. Good girl.
There's two treats down there.
That there might be, but she wants a red dentist stick. Look, you can't change the woman's mind. She's a girl. And she's got fixed ideas as to what she wants, Mike. Your job is to understand these things. Like Renee knowing exactly what to buy Mrs. Renee for her birthday. You need to know exactly what to give Lola to make her a happy girl. Ooh, that's another interesting point. The Wacos Intuos Pro Pen thing. Not half as good as the Apple Pencil. I had two graphics tablets, I think. And they were good, you know, when you're drawing something in Photoshop and that. I think I used it for a demo as well on Pixelmator. But some people swear by that for controlling their Mac. They would rather use a pencil and a tablet than a mouse or a trackpad. So, you know, each to their own. I guess I mean, you'd have precision, but it wouldn't feel natural to me. I'm very much a mouse girl. But then I'm very fast with a mouse. One of the first things I do on a new Mac is speed up the mouse pointer. That to me is so important because otherwise I feel like I'm scrolling. And that thing where you've got to pick the mouse up, drop it down and move it repeatedly. So if you speed up the mouse pointer, it might feel a bit weird at first, but trust me, a couple of days and you'll be away. So that's the first thing that I do. As I said, I do have a trackpad, but I don't find myself anywhere like as accurate with it. Nowhere near. But if you know, for other jobs, people find a trackpad great, then use a trackpad. It's fantastic for zooming in and out. But beyond that, I'm not the trackpad person. The export's not too fiddly once you get the hang of the export function. Yeah, I think it's just that thing that you're managing multiple versions of a file, where what you really want to do is edit the same file and just pick it up again when you go back to the computer. Renee uses the Files app. Don't know the English name. Files app, Renee. Apple were really inventive with that. It's the Finder app. The Files app. Autodesk, yeah. But didn't they sell it, Tracy? Because it's not from Autodesk now. Oh, Renee's got Vectinator because it's got auto trace. I use Super Vectorizer for that. That's pretty good. Holding area, exactly, it's horrible. I think there's so much scope there for having versioning issues that you're looking at it and you don't know which is which. And I must admit, that does put me off. So if I'm working on an iPad, it's probably because I've created the app. The file on an iPad, and then I will manually transfer it back and then start work on it. But I do agree with you, we're not at the point yet that you can have your files in a particular location and just switch between the edit. That's exactly the same issue that I find with Scrivener on iOS. It's fantastic that you've got access to all your writing on an iPad if you want. But the fact that it's what we call flags up, which means you can only have that file open in one location. So you've got to make absolutely certain that it's closed everywhere else. And you've got to give it like, you know, a few minutes to synchronize itself. Then you open Scrivener on iOS and then you've got to wait while it synchronizes manually with Dropbox. At least you're not managing multiple files, but in a way, it's quite dangerous because now you're editing this one and only copy of the file that you've got. And then when you finish with it, you've got to manually synchronize it back as well. And I can guarantee you, over time, you'll get this, there's a sync error. And how can there be a sync error? I mean, really? Because there's only, it's single player mode anyway. You can't say, well, can you edit this? So if I'm working in Scrivener on something and I want Mike to have a look at it, I'd just give him a laptop. It's easier. With Ulysses, I would give him an iPad because Ulysses is completely... Ulysses' model of how you can edit on the desktop and then edit on an iPad is perfect. That's what we want for every application. It's completely seamless. And when I hand Mike an iPad, the only reason I'm handing him an iPad rather than him doing it on his desktop is, again, it's a single player app. So I hand him my iPad and away he goes. I can see him making corrections as he goes on my screen on the Mac. And it's not screaming at me about sync conflicts and stuff. So it proves it's possible because that's synchronizing with iCloud. But many, many other apps, no, it's still far too manual. You spend more time worrying about it. Built for disaster. Tracy, you need to copyright that phrase. Yes, with a file system that is owned by Tracy, built for disaster. Yes, it's not good. I can export assets for safekeeping. Oh, I tell you one thing I did do today and now I've got a problem. Oh, typical. You know when you install a new machine, you set it all up and then you realise that there's something missing. And the something that's missing in this case was Camtasia libraries. So I thought, well, at least the other machine isn't dead. I know I've got a backup somewhere, but it'd be faster to go back to the original machine and get them off there. So I did. So I've got all these libraries and templates and I bring them across and I import them and I make sure everything's working fine. No problem at all. Then I open a file and I start to edit it. So I put all the stuff that needed to be on it and then I save it. No problem. Close it down, go back into it because I realised at this point I'd misspelt the file name. Well, no, I hadn't. I'd said it was March and it wasn't. It was February. So I come out of it, rename the file, open the file up again. It throws all its toys out the pram. An error that I had never seen before. Something to the effect of not supported by this version. There are features used in this file not supported by this version. This will not export properly. And I'm looking at it thinking I've only opened it in this version. What are you talking about? So there's a problem that I've now got to fix that I didn't have before. Lovely. Mind you, before I didn't have my templates either, or my library assets. So it looks like it's either one or the other. I'll actually report back tomorrow on how that goes. So I hope you all have a good rest of the day. We will now head off and see what else needs to be done. Because it's Wednesday, isn't it, Mike? And we have things to do on a Wednesday.
We do.
Are you ready to do the thing?
Yes.
Is it ready to go?
Yes.
So do you want to do the thing and then share it with the MacBiters?
Yes.
Mike's doing the thing
that,
now.
It's that, isn't it?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. I think we need to find a song about fried Mars bars.
I better not post it in the Jimmy Murphy group.
Please don't post it anywhere but the Brooklands group, Mike. They could start the scrap in an empty room.
Right, there we go.
It's the theme.
And I'll
for
put
Wednesday.
It in Facebook because I didn't do it last week.
And you got into trouble.
Oh, look,
there's a super lambanella.
Yeah.
Mike, who are you following on Facebook that's got
it
a picture
Tully.
Of the super lamb banana? Oh, well, he's okay. He lives in Liverpool. He's allowed. Right, you're going to tell the MacBiters what the theme is for Saturday.
The theme for Saturday night is St. George and all things English.
This would be because...
on Friday, it's St. George's Day.
Which is our national patron saint, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's the one time in the year you can possibly put an English flag up and not be crucified for doing so. But I wouldn't guarantee
apart from
it.
The World Cup.
Well, the World Cup maybe, but you know, I wouldn't exactly say football's been but peaceful this week, would you? They're also kicking off in an empty room. Right, all things English, St. George. So anything with George in it you can have. I've got a great one. A great one from 80s group Duran Duran. Who can think of a song from Duran Duran that's got anything to do with George? Oh, I'm thinking George Michael and Boy George as well while we're at it.
George Formby.
Oh, they'll find some, trust me, they will. Mike's struggling at the moment, but he'll find some. There's probably one about St. George.
Yeah.
Oh, can we play like Jerusalem? Or do we have to have the national anthem? Because I can't bear that. We'll have Jerusalem.
I can bear
that one. And the other one. Land of Hope and Glory. Yes, we will have stuff like that. Rather than the national anthem, which is dreary. Oh, it's the Queen's birthday today as well, isn't it? She's 95 today, but she's had a quiet day at home. Because she's missing Philip. Right. Oh, hang on. And it's the Catalan equivalent of St. Valentine's Day on Friday. Oh, that's fantastic. And Alex thought of George Formby as well. George and Mildred theme. Oh, Renee. Renee's on fire.
Mm.
That would be brilliant, wouldn't it? I wonder if we can find a way to get Hilda Baker and Arthur Mollard in.
That's
the worst song ever. We'll try and find a way to get them in. Anyway, have a ponder about it and we'll talk about it tomorrow. But at the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.